This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, the story of Lincoln Heights as it celebrates 70 years. First, raising the minimum wage is an issue being discussed around the country. Some recent examples, Mayor John Cranley has proposed raising the minimum wage for full-time Cincinnati city workers to $15 an hour. California Governor Jerry Brown signed legislation raising his state's minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2022. And New York is following in California's footsteps. And Seattle has passed a $15 minimum wage that's being phased in over the next several years. Here to talk about the pros and cons of raising the minimum wage are research associate at the University of Cincinnati Economics Center, Chris Nysack, and assistant professor of economics at Xavier University, Dr. Ed Cossack. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Chris and Ed, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
So why $15 an hour? What's the significance of that number?
I would say that's a good question. I'm not sure if there is a stock legitimacy or any reason for that number, but it's...
No, I was having a conversation with somebody about this today, where $15 came from. People bat around this word about the living wage.
Right.
It's actually really different wherever you are in the country. And so it's interesting that everybody wants $15 all around the country. It really should be based on what is the cost of living in the different places around the country that people are.
Yeah. So, Ed, so what's the difference between the term minimum wage and living wage? Or are they interchangeable?
So, no. So, a minimum wage is a legal price floor on how low can the wage go that an employer pays their employee. A living wage is this – it's a relatively newer term. It's not a legal term that is supposed to signify – how much would someone have to earn an hour to earn a reasonable living, a reasonable standard of living?
And to complicate that further, it's not either associated with the poverty level, which of course is not controlled for cost of living either. So you have the minimum wage, which is either federal or local, state, municipal, and then you have cost of living adjusted minimum wage, you have living wage, and you have the poverty level. So you have multiple different floors set that sometimes seem kind of arbitrary.
So it seems like there's a consistency issue here?
Might be a consistency issue, yes.
Yeah.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us in the conversation. Now, Mayor Cranley's proposal to raise the city's minimum wage to $15 an hour, that applies only to full-time city workers. So this is a small number of city employees, and it's not a requirement that all employers in the city have to pay that same $15 minimum wage. So what is the impact of this actually going to be? What's the effect of it actually going to be?
So the $15, that applies to the full-time, but then there's also the 10-10 for the part-time. And the current full-time minimum or living wage in Cincinnati is something like $12.50 an hour, whereas the part-time is, I believe, $8.25.
It is.
So you'll see about a 20% increase to both full-time and part-time workers. I think the number of people affected, the city estimates, will be about 1,600 people.
I saw 1,166.
1,166, okay.
Like that.
And that'll be $500,000 in additional expenditure for the city per year. So $500,000 to pay people approximately 20% more. And the jobs that the city says will be most affected, they were kind of all over the place.
Yeah, they were talking about home health workers would probably be one of the bigger job categories that are affected. Another interesting thing about that plan that I saw from Mayor Cranley was trying to expand this prevailing wage issue, right? And so what that would be is firms that are getting subsidies from the city of Cincinnati or who are doing business with the city of Cincinnati would need to, you know, have to pay a certain wage to their workers. So that part of the plan actually could be more impactful on people working at private firms around the city than just what raising the city workers' wages.
Mm-hmm. So is what's happening here really just the city's trying to set an example and to lead the way? It's maybe more symbolic than it actually is anything else?
That's exactly it. For full-time workers, I think the article that I read cited 9 people would actually move from $12.58 to $15 an hour.
So it is mainly those part-time.
It is mainly the part-time.
To 10-10s.
Yeah.
Now, going back to the idea of the $15 an hour, that's what they're doing in California and in New York. That's what they've done in Seattle. But there's a big difference in cost of living there, isn't there?
There is, yes. It's interesting. So if you go to MIT has a living wage center, and what they've done is they've used some calculations about the cost of living in different places around the country to look at what would be this living wage in different cities. And even within Hamilton County, some colleagues and I were looking at it today before I came over here. Within Hamilton County, the estimates range from $7 an hour for a single adult with no children, up to $30 an hour for a single adult with three children, right? And so even with
there's that wide of a span?
Yes, right? Because the cost of living is so different depending on if you have one or two earners in the household, whether you have multiple children or not, right? So this idea that $15 is the magic number is somewhat interesting, right? It seems that it would be much more interesting or much more important to peg or to think about what the cost of living in different places is. And there are some states, actually, that peg their minimum wage, their state minimum wage, to changes in inflation in the state, so in changes in cost of living.
Ohio is one of those states where the minimum wage has been historically, I think 2016 it was flat, but adjusted for inflation. Something similar to what Ed was saying was, so if you're looking at what the $15 an hour provides for, is it for a single person household or is it for a household with two dependents, three dependents? The difference between the living wage and economic self-sufficiency or the 200% of poverty level. So for a single wage earning household with three dependents, you need about $20 an hour for economic self-sufficiency. That's 200% of the poverty level. So does that still provide for you to have savings? Not really. That's still meeting the bare minimums to provide for three people and yourself. So $15 an hour wouldn't provide for a single mother or single father with three kids.
Now, what is you're talking about Ohio minimum wage. What's the minimum wage for Ohio versus the federal minimum wage?
Federal $7.25. Ohio right now is
$8.20.
So Ohio is actually a little bit higher than what the federal
is. $8.10.
Now, has the minimum wage, the $15 minimum wage, been in effect in place anywhere long enough for us to gauge the impact?
So in Seattle, it started in April of 2015, I believe, and that wasn't a flat to 15 step that is slowly being implemented.
It's being phased in.
In about 7 years, I think.
Depending on the size of the employer, I believe, too. It's how long they have to phase it in. So
it's similar in New York and California as well.
Except for New York City. I think it is the rapid step up in the city. But in the rest of the state, it is stagnated over multiple years.
So we've been able to see any kind of effect in Seattle at this point? Or is it because it's being phased in, we're not really able to tell much?
What I've read about Seattle, it's a fun case story because in February and March, you saw a lot of news stories about how restaurants and fast food providers were having to shut down due to increased labor costs. But the step-up didn't start till April. So then Seattle Times, I think, went back and interviewed the restaurants that were closing, and none of them said the minimum wage increases had anything to do with their closing. They had been planning on closing before that went into effect. So that's not an example of something that provides information, rather shows sometimes the analysis isn't as important to the popular opinion as just the sentiment.
Yeah, I mean, we've done a lot of – there's been a lot of economic research on the effects of the minimum wage in general, right? And so what the consensus generally is in the literature is that in the past – increases that we've looked at have had small but perhaps negative effects on employment, right? So that's the big issue that people are worried about. You raise the minimum wage, employers are going to employ fewer people, right? And so the popular sentiment has always been that it doesn't really do that much. But the issue with this $15 minimum wage is that the increase that we're talking about here could be 100% increase. If the federal minimum wage were to increase from $7.25 that it is right now to $15 an hour, that's over 100% increase, right? So all of these estimates of what might happen it's not really clear that they are telling us anything about what that might, that we can learn that much from what we've done already,
right?
Because that is a huge increase compared to what we've looked at, less than a dollar in past instances.
I think what President Obama called for in his State of the Union address, I think it was 2014, was to increase it to $10.10 an hour over a period of, I think, 4 years or so, if I'm not mistaken. So we can't really tell anything about what the impact would be there either, because it's just too gradual.
Right. We'd be going from less than 10% increase a year to possibly 100%. And based on the research I've read, over the past 40 years, most research is studying minimum wage increases that are 10% or less per year. So extrapolating the impacts of a 10% or less increase to an increase of 20% overnight, that's a little tricky.
Yeah, I mean, the other issue that we have is not just the scale of the increase, but who that increase is going to impact, right? So when we're talking about going, you know, there's a famous paper about increasing minimum wage from just under $5 to just over $5 in New Jersey, right? And we didn't see very much effect. And you're talking about an impact in industries like fast food or in retail, where people are actually working at that wage. Right. When you're talking about increasing a minimum wage from up to $15, you're now spanning many more industries where that could have an effect. And the issue is the characteristics of those industries may be such that the effect of that expansion would be much different than what we've seen before in fast food and in retail.
We've heard the argument that a lot of fast food places are going to move to automation, and this is going to lead to people losing their jobs. Have we seen any signs that that's actually happening yet?
It's perfectly rational and logical. When production costs increase somewhere, in this case due to labor, you're going to look for other avenues of cost savings. So technological advancement, where you can offset some of your labor costs to capital costs and then decrease your bottom line. But I haven't seen any results from this yet.
I mean, I think that's one of the channels through which the minimum wage decreases employment, right? So firms substitute away from using low-wage workers to using other things like capital, machines, things like that, right? And we probably, you know, that you still have quite a bit of labor being used at fast food establishments. I think they're doing more with maybe ordering kiosks and things like that. So that may be increasing. But an industry where we might see it more is in retail, right? We have less brick and mortar places where people go to buy stuff and more presence on the internet, which may require less low-skilled labor to be salespeople and things like that at those establishments.
And as far as the trend to automation, isn't that what happened to some extent in the auto industry and manufacturing in the 80s?
Right. Yeah. Yes.
We will continue our conversation about raising the minimum wage, and you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Joining me this afternoon as we talk about the pros and cons of raising the minimum wage, our research associate at the University of Cincinnati Economics Center, Chris Nysack, and assistant professor of economics at Xavier University, Dr. Ed Kosak. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. You know, when we talk about the minimum wage, do we take into account the types of jobs involved, be it sales clerk, fast food worker, general office help? Should wages be decided based on the type of work or industry, I guess is what I'm getting at?
Wages currently are decided by the type of labor required. It's a supply and demand market. As Ed said earlier, the Minimum Wage Act strictly is a floor for wages, so the legal minimum in which an employer can pay a worker.
Right. So the only way that it's sort of equalizing wages across all jobs as if the equilibrium wage in the market would have been sort of below that floor, right? So it's just equalizing people at the very, very bottom of the wage distribution. But I still think people are being paid according to the different types of jobs that they're working.
And you will see some effect for the near minimum wage jobs. So if you currently earn $16 an hour and minimum wage goes to $15, if that increased by $3, I don't think you'll get a $3 raise, but I think your wages will reflect some sort of localized impact of that.
Right. Well, and the other issue is the minimum wage can have an effect on other wages as well, right? As firms are substituting away from low-skilled workers, they may substitute towards high-skilled workers, increasing their demand for high-skilled labor, which could increase the wage for high-skilled labor as well, mm-hmm. right?
So what about the argument that you hear in support of this, that this is going to get a lot of people out of the welfare system? It's going to move more people into self-dependency. What do you think of that argument in favor of the minimum wage?
I do think that the minimum wage, is an anti-poverty program, right? So it can help people do that. The issue is that that people at the low end of the wage distribution that may need the most help, for the people that actually get a job, it can increase their wage. On the other hand, it can also increase their difficulty in finding a job if it does have disemployment effects at the same time, right? And so it's not really clear, at least theoretically, if it's helping people at the very bottom or not. I think a lot of the empirical research that's been done shows that it does at least modestly or moderately help people at the bottom of the distribution, which is a good thing, right? But there are other programs that may be better at helping alleviate poverty than, increasing, ratcheting up the minimum wage this way.
Right. If poverty could be solved simply through wages, I think it would be a lot easier to solve. But additional services, I mean, poverty is a wicked problem. It's not just due to money that people are in poverty. The current definition of poverty is based off the amount of money you earn. However, the impacts and what the other crossover effects are outside of wage. I think there are a lot of programs that could help people that wouldn't just be based off of how much they take home in a paycheck. Education is huge. Providing childcare, providing more flexible work hours would be helpful. There are many ways to alleviate some poverty conditions or to help people in addition to just changing which tax bracket they're in.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. And let's talk with Kevin in Fort Thomas. Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
I am a lifelong Democrat, and I think that this is a huge overreach that will damage the party in the future. And in particular, I'm looking at it. I did a little research. Okay, median personal income is $26,000 a year or $500 a week. At $8.10 an hour, it's $324 a week for Ohio's minimum wage. You would be doubling it past the $500 if you go to $15 an hour. So everybody in between the minimum wage and $15 an hour is also going to want to increase, because if you made your skills so that you're worth $15 an hour, you're not going to want to now be at the minimum wage. You would want to be higher than the minimum wage. So that mm-hmm. could only add further to the inflation.
Yeah, absolutely. That could add to inflation.
Yeah, is it going to increase prices?
Yeah, that's something that's really important to think about, right? It really depends on the type of industries that are being affected by the minimum wage. In places like fast food, where we think people are really not that price sensitive, people tend to buy fast food even if prices increase a little bit. Employers are able to pass the cost of the minimum wage through to the price of the final good, right? And so we do tend to see prices rise in places like that, right? Which leads to another question. What is going to be the effect on the real minimum wage, right? So if we increase the minimum wage to $15 and prices rise as a result, the purchasing power is no longer $15 for that, right? And so
but again, with this initiative, this is only City of Cincinnati workers.
Of course.
Right. So it's a very limited number of people that are being affected by this, which I think is important to remember to answer Kevin's question. This could have implications on inflation locally, but as the current initiative stands, it's not affecting many people.
Yeah, you know, you can say it will increase prices. Now, some supporters are arguing, oh, wait a minute, it's economic stimulus, though, because you get more money that's moving through the economy.
Right. So if you increase wages at fast food by 20%, for instance, you're not going to see a 20% increase in prices because wages alone aren't everything that goes into making or coming up with the price of a good. So in restaurant industry, it's generally a third goes to labor. So theoretically, you could see prices go up by a third. I mean, that's very simplistic. But the equation to come up with the final price of a good is many things outside of wage. So I think that's something that needs to be thought about when addressing the inflation question.
Christian from Lawrenceburg said that McDonald's in Phoenix is putting in the first fully automated McDonald's this month. And he also notes that they've had them in Germany for a couple of years. So we were talking about automation earlier. So it's already in motion, isn't it?
Right. And that's one of the things. If that's a technological advancement that's taking place, right, then I would expect the effects of the minimum wage on employment to be bigger than they have been in the past, mm-hmm. right? Because I think fast food places and places like that were constrained by the technology at the time to be able to substitute away from labor. So the issue is if we increase the minimum wage and firms have an easier time substituting away, the effect or the disemployment effect should be bigger now as a result.
Is it kind of like taxes? Businesses will look for any way they can not to pay them. Any legal way they can?
Yeah, I mean, that's a firm's sort of purpose is to maximize their profit, right? And to find the mix of inputs that gives them the cheapest way to produce a particular amount of output.
Do you think what would the minimum wage increase do to a very small business where you just have two or three employees, including the owner? Are they going to just shut down and say we're not going to hire anybody else anymore?
That's always a concern. I feel like that's definitely the buzz topic in terms of minimum wage. But again, many things go into the profit margin besides labor costs. So if your small business is operating at such a thin margin that a 10% increase in labor is going to shut you down and you can't pass it on to the employer, then those cases are absolutely going to exist. Whether or not those are the common cases, we won't be able to tell. And again, the current minimum wage increase does not affect small businesses. It's the city of Cincinnati directly. Mm-hmm. Indirectly, it'll affect small businesses due to marginal inflation.
But overall, is an issue. I mean, do you see this thing continuing to grow, this idea of expanding the minimum wage to $15 an hour? Is it going to be something that happens city by city, state by state?
I think so. I think it's something you're going to see pop up in major cities all over the country. It'll maybe ballot initiatives that you start to see in popular elections. So I do think it's something we're going to see a lot of in the future.
Absolutely. Well,
Chris and Ed, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Research Associate at the University of Cincinnati Economic Center, Chris Nysack, and Assistant Professor of Economics at Xavier University, Dr. Ed Cossack. And coming up, we'll learn about Lincoln Heights as the community celebrates its 70th anniversary.